This morning's scripture passage comes to us from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament. These are words of Moses as he's speaking to the Israelites. And so here's what he says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, today we're wrapping up our series whereby we've been focusing on what it means to really invest for life. You know, what are the things that we invest in that truly give us meaning and purpose? And so throughout this series, I've invited you to think about this question. And the question has been this: to ask yourself, hey, what really matters to me? What really matters to me? Because your values, your priorities, your goals have everything to do with that question. Because how you answer that is reflected in your life. It's reflected in all of those things. And it's reflected in how you use your time and how you use your talents. It's reflected in how you handle your finances. It's all reflected in that one question: what really matters to me? And so this morning, I want us to think about that question, but I want to give you two more to think about as well, because I think these two are directly tied to the first one. And so the questions are these: how will you be remembered? So think about this. How will you be remembered? Ask yourself, how will I be remembered? And the other one is, so what is my legacy going to be? All right. What legacy will you leave behind? Or to ask yourself, what legacy will I leave behind? Because I believe those two questions, how am I going to be remembered and what legacy I'm going to leave behind, are directly tied to the first question, is, hey, what really matters to me? You know, I think it was Benjamin Franklin, and I think later Mark Twain, who coined the phrase, or Twain quoted Franklin, and you've heard it before: the only two certainties in life are what? Right, death and taxes. And it's true. All of us pay taxes, or at least we're supposed to. But all of us are going to die one day, right? There is nothing we can do that's going to change that. You know, at some point, we're going to leave this earth, right? So what matters to you, what matters has everything to do with how you're going to be remembered and the legacy that you're going to leave. Right, after you're gone, right? Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think I've officiated, I believe, 35 funerals since I've been here at St. Stephen, and probably hundreds. Goodness, I didn't count them, but hundreds since I've been in the ministry. But 35 specifically here at St. Stephen. And of those, at every one of those, when I go and meet with a family, or even when I'm meeting with a person as they're nearing death, I always take with me a notebook like this. This is the latest one. But I take this with me, and I take it with me to lots of meetings, and but especially when I go meet with a family, because what am I doing? I want to write down, you know, the stories, the things about the person that we're going to celebrate. And so I always ask a family, you know, how do you want your loved one to be remembered? You know, tell me the stories. Where did they grow up? What was life like being married to them? What was life like? How are they your mom? I mean, or your dad? What were they like as your mom or your dad or your grandfather or any of those things? You know, again, tell me the stories. Right? And so what I do is, you know, I take notes, and so I have notebooks like this, and they're full of meeting notes, but also notes about the people that I've helped to celebrate as I have officiated at their funerals. And so I take those notes and all those things and their desires in regards to music and scripture, and, you know, I pull all that together, and, you know, I put together a service that we celebrate their life at. And so I do that every time I meet with a family. However, I remember several years ago, before I was here at St. Stephen, I was doing a funeral for a woman's father, and so I went to, obviously, she came by the office there to meet with me as we to discuss, you know, how we were going to celebrate his life. And so I had my notebook with me, I had my pen with me, and I was all ready, you know, to take some notes. And so I asked him, so tell me about your dad, you know, tell me tell me stories. And so I'm all ready to write, and this is what she said. She said, you know, I can't think of any good things to say about my dad. I mean, he deeply hurt me, and I'm still trying to deal with that. And so I had basically nothing to write, because the legacy that this person left, or at least with his daughter, was one of pain, one of abuse, one of abandonment. And I'm going to tell you, that was a difficult funeral to officiate at, you know? And, you know, that stands in stark contrast to so many others that I've done. Yeah, I remember one in particular. I met with the family, and I went to their home, and the kids were there, and the grandkids were there, and I sat down with them, and I had my notebook. And again, I invited them to tell stories, you know, to tell me about their dad, to tell me about their grandfather. You know, he had died unexpectedly at 72 years old, and so there was a lot of pain there. But as they told the stories, there was laughter. And amidst the tears, as they told the stories and as they remembered their dad and the difference that he made in their lives and in the lives of others, there was joy. The son told me how his dad, just a week before his passing, had shown up at his house one Saturday morning to help him fix one of the kids' cars. I think it needed a new alternator or something like that. And so his dad showed up and said, "Hey, let me help you with this." And so they spent the better part of a day fixing this car. And he said, you know, at the end of that project, my dad, he looked at me and he said, "I just can't tell you how proud I am of you, son. And I can't tell you how proud I am that you're my son." And the son said, "You know what? I can't tell you how much that meant to me for my dad to say that, to hear those words from my dad." You know, the grandkids were telling me how their pop-pop would show up at their school unannounced just to have lunch with them. And would do it often. You know, and so there were all kinds of these stories of love and grace and caring and about his family and the employees. He owned the company and employees and his clients that he had. And so it was an easy funeral to officiate at and to really, because we could easily celebrate the life of this individual. But I was thinking about it, and so what was he doing though? You know, when I heard these stories, he was building a legacy, wasn't he? He was leaving a legacy, right? With his clients, with his employees, with his family, with his kids, his grandkids, with his friends, right? He was building a legacy of love and grace. You know, I'm thinking about that, and you know, Christmas is just around the corner, right? I think there's 7 more Sundays between now and Christmas Eve. So it's coming. And I think about, you know, what at Christmas, what do? We buy gifts for our family and friends. And, you know, I've been thinking about this. I think it started more last year. But, you know, as I get older and as my kids get older, you know, and what we do at Christmas, again, you know, like a lot of people, you give gifts and stuff like that, and you know, but here's the thing. All the funerals that I've done and all the times that I've sat down with families and friends to take notes at, never once has anyone told me the story a story about a gift they got at Christmas from their dad, from their mom, from their loved one, right? Nobody talks about that. They never talk about what they get at Christmas. What they talk about are the experiences, are the stories, are, you know, the time spent together. And so, as I said, you know, I've been thinking about that, and you know, about investing in life for life, and the making of memories. And in fact, last year, this is what we did with our kids. We limited the gifts that we got for them, and instead we took a cruise together, all six of us. We took a cruise together. First time we had all gone on a cruise together like that. And so they didn't get that much for Christmas because we did this cruise. And what did we do? We decided we were going to invest in an experience. We were going to create memories because, you know, again, when I open up my notebook and look at my notes, what I find are memories of experiences, of time spent together. Not the presents that are found under a tree. Which is really what Jesus was talking about when he said, yeah, your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions or in the Christmas presents that you receive. It consists in the relationships. First, your relationship with God and then with other people. And so I'm wondering, you know, are you making memories and investing in relationships as you think about investing for life? Because that's part of what people are going to remember. It's part of the legacy that you leave. But that legacy, I want us to understand that legacy is more than just cruises or family vacations and stuff like that. It's also the legacy that we leave in terms of faith. Yeah, I'm reminded of how Moses, just before his death, he's on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, and the Israelites are about to enter into the promised land there. You know, they've been living in the wilderness or wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and so here they are on the edge of the promised land, and just before they go, Moses, though, he gives them one final sermon, one final message. And so in Deuteronomy 5, we read it, and what does he do? He gives them the Ten Commandments again, and he recounts the journey that they shared together of being from being in bondage there in Egypt and through the Red Sea, and they're wandering in the wilderness together and all those kinds of things. And in chapter 6, he gives what's called now the Shema, Shema Israel. This is the most important statement of faith or prayer for the Jewish people. And that's what I read just a few moments ago. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And that's what Jesus quotes later on in the Gospels, right? And then Moses goes on to say, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Why does Moses say all these things? Because he's afraid that as they prepare to go into the promised land, that they're going to forget God. That they're going to forget how God had delivered them and how God had blessed them. It had been 40 years since their deliverance, and now there were children and children's children who didn't have that experience firsthand. You know, they didn't have the experience that maybe their parents or their grandparents had. And so Moses is saying, hey, listen, when you get to the promised land, talk about this. Talk about your story. Talk about your faith. Share it with your children and your grandchildren. Pray and help them to know the commandments. Impress this upon their hearts. See, this is the legacy that Moses is leaving behind. This is part of the legacy that we are all called to leave. The passing of faith from one generation to another. We're called to do that. And many of you have. I know for a fact that, you know, in the churches I've served, I've seen generation. And then the next generation. You know, the churches I've been in part of, there's three generations, four generations even. Here at St. Stephen, and we're only over 50 years old. And there are second generations and third generations of families here already. So I've seen that happen, but I also know that for some of you, your children or your grandchildren, they don't go to church, and I know that's painful for you. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to continue to let them see Christ in you, to let them know what God means to you, to let them see the hope and the true joy that is found in your relationship with Christ, right? To continue to pray for them. And along the way, eventually, you may find that they come back. Why? Because of your witness. Because of the legacy of faith that you impressed upon them. You know, I was talking with someone, and they were telling me how they had come back to church after kind of wandering away from God in college and things like that. But they came back to church after their mother had died. And they said, you know, when one of the last things that that I received from my mother, this person said, was a letter. And it said, you know, I just want you to know. The letter said, I just want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to know how much God loves you too. You know, I desperately want you to go back to church. I want you to know the love of God once more. And I remember this person telling me how irritated they were when they first read that letter. But how, after their mom had died, how their heart began to change as they remembered those words and read those words again and again. And they said, you know, and so I went back to church. And this person's been a part of church ever since. And why are they a part of the church? Because of a mother's legacy. Because of the way she lived and the way that she loved and the letter that she wrote. So what are those questions again? What are those, you know, what really matters to me? How do I want to be remembered? What is the legacy that I hope to leave behind? Because my hope is that faith matters to you. My hope is that part of the legacy that you leave are the stories and the experiences that you shared with others, with your family, with your friends, with, gosh, with those in your community and beyond. My hope is that part of the legacy that you leave is generosity. We talked about this last week, right? Investing in life, investing in the eternal rather than the temporal. Jesus was the one who said that, you know, it's better to give than to receive, and he was right. Giving is a part of our legacy, right? What we give to God and what we give to other people is one way in which we are leaving a legacy. We're investing in others besides just ourselves. We're helping other people. We're saying, you know what? This is what really matters to me. I mean, we are here at St. Stephen. If St. Stephen is your home, we are here because of the investment of those who first came together 54 years ago. We're here today because of their generosity towards God and towards others. I mean, that has been a part of the DNA of this church from the start, of giving and investing in the lives of others in the community and beyond. I mean, we are here because of them, and we're here because of the investment that followed them, and hopefully we're going to be here for generations to come, long after you and I are gone. Why? Because we have invested. All right, we have invested in this place and through this place, and this place has continued to help people experience God and to love God, to know that they are loved by God. We have continued to invest in ways that makes a difference in the lives of others. The generosity, hopefully, is part of the legacy that we leave behind. I mean, having stuff is not a bad thing. Please don't misunderstand me. But if that is our primary goal, we're never going to be satisfied. Because we find true joy, and we've talked about this, when we learn how to give. Our character and our faith are meant to be defined not by what we get, but what we give. You know, this week I had the opportunity to attend a breakfast sponsored by the Greater Matthews Habitat for Humanity organization, you know, the organization that builds homes, Habitat for Humanity homes. And the Matthews organization is the one that does it here in our community. And so I went along with Laura here on staff and Jesse on staff. We went, and there was a whole slew of St. Stephen people there as well at this breakfast where they celebrated the organizations and the people who make Habitat happen, who are making a difference in the lives of others. And so they gave away several awards during the breakfast. And one of those awards is called the Golden Hammer Award. And it's given to those who provide, you know, this ongoing support and assistance through unwavering volunteerism or partnership, it says. Well, one of those recipients was our own Wayne Smith. Wayne is one of many here at St. Stephen who have given of themselves in extraordinary ways to Habitat for Humanity. if we're building homes and supporting them. And, you know, Wayne serves on the board of directors now for the Greater Matthews Habitat, along with Dave Weaver here and Connie Lambert. And so I actually got a picture of Wayne, and he's there in the crowd, kind of the silver hair there, that's Wayne, with his golden hammer. And it was much deserved, because Wayne has given of himself, has invested for life. And one of those ways is through Habitat for Humanity. Now, there was another award given that morning as well, called the Walter Donham Excellence in Service Award. The Walter Donham Excellence in Service Award. And this is given to an individual who has demonstrated profound service to others and has inspired others to act within the community. And I would regard this as probably the most prestigious of the awards that Habitat gives each year. And this year, that award was presented to one of our own again. To Clonnie Lambert. Actually, here's a picture of Clonnie and the award there. Clonnie has been involved with Habitat for Humanity for over 20 years, probably closer to 30 years. And as I mentioned, he's serving on the board. He served on it previously. Now he's serving on it again. He was asked to come back on, and he's done so. I think he's done a little bit of everything for the organization there. He's organized our volunteers here at church countless number of times. Habitat, its mission and its purpose have been a passion of his and Wayne's and others. And it's part of the legacy that he and others are leaving. And Clonnie, actually, they allowed him to share a few words. And if you know Clonnie, you know a few words is a hard thing for Clonnie to do. But that he, believe it or not, he shared just a few words. But I loved what he shared, because Clonnie made it a point to emphasize that the award that he was receiving on that day was because of others. It was because of the over 200 volunteers from St. Stephen over the years who have helped to build over 24 Habitat for Humanity homes. St. Stephen has built 19 turnkey, the only, meaning has built 19 homes just themselves, and then five more in partnership with other organizations, but 24 homes total. You know? And so Colleen's saying, this award is really is about all these other people who have made this happen. Right, who have contributed. I think Clonnie told me St. Stephen has contributed almost $1 million to the construction of these homes. That's amazing. Over $1 million. Wow. And so that award, Clonnie was getting it, and rightfully so, and justifiably so. But he also made it a point to say, you know what? This legacy is not just mine. It's all because of many of you. And I share this because this is what it means to invest in life. When you ask folks like Wayne or Clonnie what really matters to you, they're going to tell you. It's about making a difference in the lives of others. And one of those has been through their investment, all right, in Habitat for Humanity here in our community. Their investment in and through this church. I mean, Clonnie not only organized all the volunteers for Habitat through this place, also for many years for those who went and served at the Appalachian Service Project, youth, and all the youth that have gone. Why? Because he was willing to step up and to lead and to help organize those trips every year to the Appalachian Mountains, and to help make homes warmer, safer, and drier. Willing to make an investment, all right, for life, all right, to leave that kind of legacy. And by the way, at the breakfast was also Elizabeth Garcia. And actually, here's a picture of her and Clonnie together. Why is that significant? Because St. Stephen constructed her house 20 years ago. We constructed her house 20 years ago. Many of you were a part of that build. And so you talk about leaving a legacy. Because of you, Elizabeth had a home, still has this home, her only home. She said, I'm never going to sell it. I've been offered. I'm never going to sell it. This is my home. This gave me the opportunity to put down roots, to raise my family, to be a part of a community, to give back to my community. This is what it means to invest for life, because of her, because of your legacy, You know, it's living on in her and through her, and now she's sharing that, and you know, that legacy is growing. This is what it means to invest in something other than ourselves, to leave a legacy that touches lives long after you and I are gone. And so again, I want to ask you this question. What legacy will you leave behind? What are the people around you, those closest to you, your friends, your family, what are they going to say after you're gone, right? What are they experiencing from you? What are you passing on that they're going to pass on to future generations as well? I mean, how is the world going to be different because of you? See, when I or whomever it is shows up at your house to meet with your family, you know, and they ask your family, hey, what really mattered to your loved one? How are they to be remembered? What legacy did they leave? What are they going to say about you? Let us pray. Oh God, we are so grateful for your love, for the blessings, for your gifts, so many that we just take for granted. For the life that we get to live, oh Lord, and the opportunities that we have to truly invest for life, to invest in the lives of other people, you know, to point others to you, to leave a legacy that touches people for generation and generations and generations. Lord, so I give you thanks for this church. I give you thanks for folks like Connie and Wayne and so many more who have given of themselves, who invested themselves in this way, and how the legacy they are leaving is continuing on in so many others, oh Lord. And so help us. Remind us that you call us to something bigger than ourselves, to invest in something more than just ourselves, oh Lord, but to point others to you. And invest in ways in which we can make a difference in life. So Lord, help us to be faithful in that calling. For it is in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.